Good afternoon, everybody. There is an old discussion about playing with building toys on Shabbos, like Lego or Lincoln Logs or things like that. However, each time a new toy comes out, you have to re-examine it. So we're ready for probably a couple of decades already. There's been a very, very popular children's toy called Magna Tiles. No? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you've played with them. Are they still popular? I don't know. My kids were young. They were very, very popular. I think they're still popular. And they're supposed to be like the ultimate Shabbos toy. They're, you know, these plastic pieces that have these magnets. You can put them together. Nothing lights up. Nothing, sings to you or dances. Seems like a really wonderful Shabbos toy. So the question is it mutzer to actually play with it on Shabbos? So there is a malacha called Bona. Bona was done in the Mishkan when they would attach the crush them to each other using bars and rings and sockets, and the building consisted, whenever they would build, it was made of an asiyas ohel. There was a canopy, a roof, and also medabek chalakim. They would attach different pieces to each other. So in order to violate the av malach of bona, you have to do both of those things, to be medabek chalakim to each other and also make a canopy, a roof over it. But if you do one or the other, it's still a violation, mida oraisa. It's just a tolda of bona rather than the av of bona. So the poskim discuss why it is that you're allowed to use construction toys, or are you allowed to use construction toys on Shabbos, because after all, it's medabik chalakim. It seems to me that you're attaching different pieces to each other. So poskim are by and large mekel, because it's only meant to be assembled for a short period of time. That's what some Sofer writes in Or Chaim Siman Zayin Beis, and that may not be bona at all. And the Taz in Siman Shin Yud Gimel Sukkot and Zayin says that when you have something that's made to always be put together and taken apart and put together and taken apart, like a door, you open the door, close the door, open the door, close the door, that's derech tashmisho, and therefore that's not considered to be a violation of bona. So certainly something as flimsy as magnetiles, where clearly it's never meant by Lego. The problem was that sometimes they would have like these Lego palaces, and you'd build an airport, and you know, it would stay that way for like months at a time, and you'd show it off to everyone. But with magnetiles, they come apart as quick as you put them together, even much more quickly than you put them together, and they don't last very long, and it's made to be that way. So it would not seem to be that violation of bona. However, there is the other half of bona, which is asiyas ohel arai. So there's a lot of room to be made with something so flimsy as far as bona, but making an ohel is an entirely different story. Why is it an entirely different story? So we know that it's an entirely different story, and that even something very flimsy is a violation of making an ohel from the Gemara itself. The Gemara in Erev in Daf Kuf Aleph gives several examples, four to be exact, of things that violate this Isser of Asiyas Ohel Arai, which is Nisser Midrabanan of Bona, because it's so temporary. Number one is if you construct a fire on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to pile logs on the side and then put logs across the top, because those logs you're putting across the top is Asiyas Ohel. Second example the Gemara gives is if you make a bed frame and then you put a mattress over the top of the frame, that too is Asiyas Ohel. Third example the Gemara gives is if you're stacking barrels and you put two barrels on the side and then one barrel running over the top of the other two barrels, that too is Asiyas Ohel. And the final example the Gemara gives is probably the biggest chiddush of all of them, is that if you stack eggs on top of each other, that too could be a violation of Asiyas Ohel. So if you have two eggs on the side and one egg sitting on top of the two eggs, where there's a hollow space between the two eggs, the Gemara says that is Asiyas Ohel. Now clearly, in order to be Asiyas Ohel, everyone agrees it needs to be a tefach. Tefach wide and a tefach high. So as Chazanish points out, these are Chazanishir eggs, right? These are very, very big eggs. If you're going to end up with a tefach of space in between, tefach is like 4 inches. So if you're going to end up with a tefach in between, then that would be a problem. So when you're dealing with magnet tiles, there are two size tiles. There are the 2-inch tiles and the 4-inch tiles, right? So if you have the small tiles, you can make an ohel that's only 2 inches by 2 inches. That there's no shaila whatsoever. That's not a CS ohel. But once you're using the 4-inch tiles, the big magnet tiles, then you run into trouble with making an ohel. So any temporary ohel that's at least a tefach wide and tefach off the ground has the potential to be a problem. But there are really two types of ohel. There's an ohel that has sides to it, right? If an ohel has at least 3 vertical partitions that reach the ground, Chayyadim writes in Klal Mem Beis Os Aleph that even if it doesn't serve to protect anything underneath it, but it has walls, that's a violation of a Asiyas Ohel. And then you have an ohel that doesn't have at least 3 vertical partitions. It has 2 partitions or 0 partitions or 1 partition, but it's just an ohel on top. So that is only a violation of ohel if it's meant to protect something underneath it, like an umbrella, for example, or a folding table, for example, is mutter. Why is it mutter to open up a folding table on Shabbos? After all, it's an ohel. You're making an ohel. It's more than a tefach off the ground, more than a tefach wide. Every table is more than a tefach wide. Right? So why are you allowed to do that? Because you're not doing it to protect whatever's underneath it. You're doing it for the area on top of it. And there are no walls on the side of the folding table, and therefore it's going to be permissible. Same with the folding chair. Why are you allowed to unfold the chair? Because there are no walls on the side of the folding chair, and you're not doing it to protect that which is underneath the chair. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Aleph, Asher's wearing wide brim hats on Shabbos, because that also makes an OL, and it's meant to protect you from the rain and from the sun. So if the brim is more than a tefach, Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, that's Asher. But again, the Mishnah Berurah points out that's only if the brim is there to provide protection. I remember when my brother had his afrov, so he married Rabbi Tendler, Zechariah Levracha's granddaughter. So Rabbi Tendler went, we put him by the most chashva gvir in the whole community, and the fellow opened the door to welcome Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler took one look at the guy and said, I hope you're not going to wear that hat on Shabbos. You know, the guy, it was the style then to have a very wide brim. So Rabbi Tendler didn't think it was mutter to wear that. Okay, but anyway, so why is the halacha so much stricter about making an ohel than it is about making walls? Meaning by walls, it's got to be solid, it's got to be chazak, in order for it to be a violation of bona. Medabik chalakim, but when it comes to ohel, even flimsy is an ohel. So there are two explanations that are given by the Achronim. One explanation is Chacham Sofer says that we learn it all out from the Mishkan. There was real construction in making the walls of the Mishkan, and then they just laid the curtain over it, so it was much more flimsy by its nature. The other possibility is that generally you can't put a roof on something that doesn't already have a solid foundation. So generally speaking, we're assuming if we're putting a roof on something that there was a firm base or foundation that would keep it standing. So therefore, we're much more machmir on the on what would qualify as a roof. Now Tosos writes again the kula that if it doesn't have walls, then anything underneath. So then if it's not made to protect something underneath, then it's fine. So if you make a magnetile tower that has only two sides and not three or four sides, and even if it's a tefach wide, and you don't put anything under it, you know there are no little dolls that live inside of there or whatever, it's not meant to protect anything underneath it, then that would be mutter lichora. But once you make it three or four sides and it's tefach by a tefach, then you run into trouble. So there are other kulas to take into account. The Gemara tells us that you can make a temporary ohel if you put the ceiling in place first, because it's so unusual to do that, to put the ceiling there and then stick the walls in under the ceiling, that would be mutter. So if you want to hold the ceiling tile in place and then put the walls in position and teach your children that's the way they're supposed to do it, so then you can make a magnetile structure. Someone wanted to suggest, I saw that there's a Taz in that has a whole discussion about Binyan Bekelim, and he's Machmer like Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz says if you're Machmer about Binyan Bekelim, how are you ever allowed to put a lid of a big pot back onto the pot on Shabbos? So he says nobody's Machmer about that, right? Everyone puts the lid of their Chalon pot back onto their Chalon pot. So he says that Chazal only asks for putting a cover on something when the cover is not designated to be used as a cover for that item, like a cloth that was used to cover a barrel. In that case, the putting a non-covering item on something else as a covering, that's called making something a new roof. But that which was already designated to be a lid, to be a cover for something, and then you're using it for what it was meant for, as a cover, as a lid, that's not going to be a problem. So is there room to suggest that a magnetile, that each tile is designated to be a cover for something? So that's difficult to say, because they're however you want to construct them. None of them are meant to be covers or sides or walls or whatever else. It's whatever the kid feels like doing. So there is room to be machmir by magnetiles, because the fact that the walls of the ohel are built now, much like setting up the barrel to be covered, is a problem. And very often you're left with a tefach by a tefach. In fact, in the Orcho Shabbos in Perek Tes, Sif Yud Gimel, he says that you have to tell your chinuch age children not to use building blocks like Lego or the like, or to build a house or anything that has an OL of a tefach by a tefach, if you can use it for the space underneath it. And he's machmir about magnet tiles as well. And even if you're going to dismantle it very shortly, he's machmir about that. I saw online, I googled magnet tiles halacha, see if anything came up. They said that they asked for Shlomo Miller in Toronto if it's muktzah. And he said, it's not muktzah, but you should spend Shabbos learning Torah. So I don't know, why are they asking if it's muktzah? Who cares if it's muktzah? That's not the issue. He's okay, shine, it's not good, shkayach, it's not muktzah. But l'chora, he didn't answer the real question, whether it's a violation of Asiyas Ol. So l'chora, like I said, that if it's meant to protect something underneath, then it's, and it's a tefach by a tefach, then it's Asiyas Ol. If, like Ruba Druba at the time, it's not meant to protect something underneath, then it's only Asiyas Ol if you have at least three walls. Okay, everyone have a great day.